I bet you do it for all the preachers. You do. I've seen, I've been here. Yeah. Well, thank God, you know, it's Christmas time. You know, everywhere you go, people have been decorating houses. They decorate trees. They decorate themselves. That's what we've evolved to, you know. People wearing stuff, you know, that you'd normally put on a tree. That's all right. That's okay. Then they're decorating their children, you know. And then, if that's not enough, they're decorating their animals. And you know what? It's wrong to dress up a cat like an elf. You know, it's just wrong. That's not right. But that's all right. That's the spirit of Christmas. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, for myself, through the years, I've learned to appreciate the true meaning behind Christmas. I mean, you know, it's just, it's awesome to me. I remember where I was years ago, and that was pretty shallow. You know, all I thought was what you could see in the glitz and what people were doing. But now I've understood what God's done. You know, this theme has been the hand of God, and it's such a wonderful, you can go there, and we talked about this, you know, you can start studying the hand of God and how God has moved throughout the centuries. And man, you can just get so blessed. You can just worship God and just keep going in that study till you leave this earth. And probably when we've been in heaven 10 million years, we'll still be learning. We will know even as he is known. You know, I have to say this. You know, back in the Depression, which I wasn't there, you know, Fred, I don't know, Fred, was you there? You know, I remember talking to people, and my grandfather said, man, he said, my wife's grandfather said, you know, it was really tough back in the Depression. He grew up out in La Mesa, back out there, you know, an old dirt farm. And he said, man, you know, it was really, he said, we eat what we could find. You know, money was scarce, food was scarce, and he said, you know, we'd even eat an old possum sometimes. And he said, man, and he looked at me seriously. He said, that's the only meat I ever eat that as long as you chewed it, the bigger it got. I thought, man, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound too good. But, you know, back in that time, there was a pastor of a church. Boy, there's some word pictures there, isn't it? But there was a pastor of a church, and he didn't have much. There wasn't much food. They didn't have much money in the church, but he appreciated the people so much that he decided to put a little buffet out. You know, what he could get. And he put it in a room, and he laid out a table. And one end of the table where you started, he had a bowl of apples, you know, delicious apples. But he put a sign on there, and he said, take only one, God's watching you. All right, you know, God's watching you take the apples. Things are tough. And then on the other end of the table, his wife had baked a fresh platter of chocolate chip cookies, and he put it on the other end. And somebody put a sign there and said, take all the cookies you want, God's watching the apples. Did you know? That's just like a pastor, you know. I'm watching you. You know, this is the thing about it. You know, most people think that God's still watching the apples. Even God's people think that God's concentrating. He's watching you. He's always scrutinizing what's going on in your life. And, you know, if you're in that place, and maybe you don't know the Lord this morning, and, you know, you're in a place in your life where you think the world's scrutinizing you, and you think the world's beating you down, and you can even be a believer and think that. And even you can get to the place where you don't understand. You don't understand what God has done, how he has already moved through Jesus. And my thing this morning is, what has God, his hand moved 2,000 years ago, his hand moved through Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the arm of God's righteousness. And, and you know, if you understand, if you can come from the foundation of what he's done and how he's already moved through his son Jesus, there's a place of rest there. There's a place where you can enter into what he's done and stop trying to do what he's already done. You know, for a long time, and I don't say this to condemn anybody, everybody was wearing a little wristband that said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I used to look at that armband, and I thought, well, now, is that for the guy with the band or the guy that's looking at the band? Or what is that? You know, what would Jesus do? I never struggled with that. I knew what Jesus would do. You know, Jesus never looked at anybody that came to him. He never looked and said, you know, man, you're really sick. There's nothing I can, you know, what should I do? Should I heal you or just let you go on sick? You know, he's standing up there and there's thousands of people. They're hungry. They've been following him around. It's the end of the day. And, you know, Jesus didn't look out there and say, well, you know, you should have brought some money. What should I do? You know, should I do something good or just let you people go on? You know, the Bible says that God, if you're a believer, God has written his laws on your heart and your mind. I never have to look at things and say, well, you know, I never have to look at money laying around somewhere and say, well, now, you know, what would Jesus do? Would he stick that in his pocket and say, yeah, that guy should have been watching a little closer? Or would he look at it and say, you know, that don't belong to me. That's stealing. You know, I never understood exactly what that little band meant. For a guy looking at that, he's thinking, I don't know who Jesus is, and why should I care what he would do? For the guy that's got the band on his arm, he's got to be thinking, well, you know, I just don't know. If he read the Bible, he would know what Jesus would do. Jesus was good, went out doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Now you say, how are you going to tie that into what you're going to talk about here? You watch this. All right. Most people think God's still looking at the apples. They think, you know, God can do anything, but he ain't done much. That's what a lot of people think. You talk to Christians. You know, they make statements sometimes that makes them look like orphans. Well, you know, I don't know. I sure hope God shows up. He dwells and walks in within you. He's already there. You know, statements like that. Really, they're statements of unbelief. They're statements of for a lack of knowledge, my people perish. I want you to see this scripture. It says, to wit, and this is from 2 Corinthians 5:19. Listen to this. To wit, that God was in Christ, the God-man, the Lord from heaven, reconciling the world unto himself. Now listen, this is how God's hand moved 2,000 years ago. You need to read sometimes. Go over in the book of Romans and look at Romans chapter 3. Where it says, there was none righteous, no, not one. And then it gives a description of what that of not being righteous was. Talks about how the throat was an open sepulcher. And talks about all the demise that was on the inside of a person. But this says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Did that leave anybody out? Can anybody stand up in the world? Well, you know, he just overlooked. You don't know how bad I was. You don't know what I've been into. Now, he couldn't have done anything. You ever had anybody say, and my dad said this to me one time. He said, son, you don't know what I've done. And I thought, well, daddy, you don't know what Jesus did. You don't know what God did. He's the creator. That's what counts, right? See, if you know what he's done, if you know how his hand has moved, if you have this foundation in your life, you can build on that. You can always go back. It's kind of like a default, you know. Yeah, sometimes in the computer, you know, they have a default ringtone or something. Boy, it's always a weird sound. You know, it's not nothing classy, you know. It doesn't sound anything really really good. It has a sound that it goes back to. But listen to this. You can always go back to this foundation of what's been done and how well it's been done. I'll show you how well it's been done. He said, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that's an accounting term that means it doesn't put to your account, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That didn't leave anybody out. God, listen to me, this is very important for you to understand. Most people don't understand that. They think that, yeah, you're saved all right, by grace, I love you, but you know I'm still checking up on you, still watching you, still got my eye on you. You ever heard, my mother used to say that, she said, I'm watching you. I got my eye on you. Well, Mama, you need to read the Bible, you know? Do like Jesus. What would Jesus do? He'd look away. Mama didn't do that. She kept her eye on me all the time. You know, I wonder, you ever wonder if people in heaven can see you? Yeah. You ever think they might have this concept inside their hearts? You know why? I'm still praying for you. You know, the Bible doesn't say that they don't. But I believe this with all my heart. Just because they moved to heaven, they hadn't forgot about you. Has God forgotten about you? Well, they're his sons and daughters still, just because they moved. You know, if I moved from here to Colorado, I still think about you guys. Well, some of you anyway, you know. Hey, no, I would think about you. You know, people come back to church, they move away, they come back. Why? Because they hadn't forgot about you. Listen to me carefully. That's a wonderful thing to have in your heart. But look, he's not imputing their trespasses to you. You are his sons and daughters, and even if you're not born again, this is something real. He is not imputing their trespasses unto them. You know why? It's because of what Jesus did, how the hand of God moved through his son 2,000 years ago. And if you understand this, look at this. I'm going to throw this scripture in here. It's not on the screen. This is how he did it. This is how it was done. This is why he's not holding things against his people. This is why he's not scrutinizing you. This is why he's not taking photographs of what you're doing so he can look back through there and say, uh-huh, I remember what you were like. The chastisement, this is Isaiah 53, the chastisement, our need to be at peace, the correction of our peace, the correction of a relationship between God and man, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, Jesus, the Lord. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Who's the us all? Is it just the Christians? No. It's the whole world. God laid on Jesus anything, everything that could ever be between you and God. He laid that on his son. Boy, you go home and meditate that. God, woo, what manner of love is that? What manner of love is that? That you laid everything on your only begotten son. Wow, that'll set you free. You know, that's awesome. You know, I was talking a minute about how people decorate themselves up. I was in a church one time, and then, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. Some people take it to the next level. This guy is sitting in the back of the church. Boy, he's having a good time. But he's got on his shorts, he's got his flip-flops on, he's got his tank shirt on, he's got a Santa Claus hat on. Yeah. He's just praising God, and I thought, yeah, brother, you free. If you get any freedom, you'll float right out of here. That's all right, though. You know what? God ain't... Now, listen. God not looking at that man saying, well, now, you know, this is a holy place, and I'm offended by it. I grew up in that stuff. Oh, man. We didn't know what freedom was. You know, freedom to us was when it was 12 o'clock and we were getting out of the place. You know? Time to eat. Oh, man. We could just go... I could teach a mile on that stuff. Some of you folks grew up in that stuff. Thank God you're coming out of it. You keep listening to the pastor. You keep coming in here. You keep watching how people have been freed up. You'll get free yourself. God wants you so free. One of these days, I fly away. Well, no wait. Boy, that's great, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? But look at this. Our need to be at peace was upon him, Jesus. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know what iniquity is? It's lawlessness. But it's more than, it's deeper than that. It's the core of wickedness, or what we call a sin nature. You got to understand what he laid on Jesus. He laid on Jesus the core of what Satan was, the core of that, and the nature of the enemy. He laid on Jesus. And that scripture that stands out in my mind that literally changed my life, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he was made to be sin, he Jesus, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whatever you think is between you and God, whatever it might be, anything in the past, something that happened 5 minutes ago, that was laid upon Jesus. He was made to be that, so that you could be totally, completely accepted under the Father. What kind of a move of God's hand was that? Amen. You know, I say this, and I've said this before. I pray with all my heart that God took home movies. I hope that he took movies. I don't know what it would be to see, but to see how Jesus did, to see it in the Spirit, see how he did it, and then see his victory over it. Oh, my goodness. There's no reason. God said, I won't withhold anything I'm not going to withhold anything that's good against my, I won't hold it from them. I want you to experience it. You know, that I don't know about you, that blesses me right to my core. Praise God. Look at this scripture. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That should be in your little sheet inside the announcement there. But he made it that you and I might be made. Now, in the Old Testament, when people's heart was toward God and they were listening to him, righteousness was put to their account. It was like it was on reserve for them until the time that Jesus could come. It was placed to their account. You and I, when you get born again, when you come and you believe into Christ, you're made the righteousness of God. You know what that righteousness is? is not only right standing with God, but it is as righteous as he is righteous. Man, I don't know how to exactly explain that. That's what the Bible says. That's the new covenant that you have in Christ. This is what, when the pastor gives invitation for somebody to be prayed for, you want to come to the Lord? God wants to make you his righteousness. He wants to put what he has on the inside of you. He wants to put himself inside of you. I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. I will be your God, and you'll be my people. Come out from among them. You know, don't touch the unclean thing. I'll receive you, and you'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. I can rehearse that all the time. Satan comes along, and he says, well, you know, nobody's thinking about you. Nobody loves you. Oh, there's better people that God can use. Man, you just don't know much. You can quote that, and he'll go, whoop, out he go. Man, he can't stand that. Because you know why? Because you know the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It's what you know is you can use the sword. There's the spirit. You can use what you know, the word. And I heard a guy say this one time. I think I told you this too. He said, every time Satan comes around and tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future.
Amen.
It's a fire forever. You ain't want to hear that. He'll leave in a moment. So, that first point, God is not putting our sins to our account. Boy, that ought to make you rejoice every moment of your life. In your flesh, you ain't never going to get it right. Your flesh, it go crazy sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you just have to rein it back in. Your mind will try to go in places. I tell my mind to shut up. You know, I don't say that out loud. People do this like that. They laugh. Say, that's a nut. Huh? Well, Jesus talked to a tree. Don't worry about that. All right. Listen to this. This is a wonderful truth. A man does not go to hell for his individual sins. I was taught that all my life. Well, the more you sin, the deeper and hotter the hell it's going to be for you. Well, you know, you're doing something over there. I ain't doing as bad as you are. Boy, it's going to be hotter for you than me. You do not go to hell for your individual sins. What you go to hell for is not believing into the one who took your sins. The ultimate payment. The ultimate payment. The simplicity of Christ. The way I love the word God, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. He says, come and drink freely of the water. Man, why are you laboring for stuff that doesn't satisfy? Why are you trying to put all of your life into what you have and what you're doing? All of that's going to pass away. Come and drink the water. It's going to give you life eternal.
Amen.
That's simple, isn't it? But man, profound in understanding. Boy, what an invitation that is.
Yeah.
The world says, yeah, there's some strings attached. Religion will teach you that. Yeah, buddy, but he's watching the apples. Oh, it's all grace. Come just as I am without one plea. But I guarantee you, I'm still watching them apples. I'm still looking at your past. I've heard that preached. That's still preached in a lot of circles. It's just preached in a little different way. It's packaged a little bit different way. When you come into the freedom of the Lord Jesus, you get into Word and you study. You start letting the Holy Spirit move through you. You start moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And boy, you can spot it in a moment. Uh-oh. You're trying to tie the grace of God to my goodness, to my performance. Every time you're going to come up short, every single time condemnation will come. Satan will use that against you at all times. All right, let's move on now. I got a little bit of time going here. He said, put on in Ephesians chapter 4, and that, I don't know if that's going to be in your notes or not. I don't think it is. Maybe it is. He said, put on the new man. This is after you're born again. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Put on the new man. This is what the hand of God did. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
You know, I used to read over in the Old Testament, God said, you know, be ye holy for as I am holy, for I am holy. And we used to try to do that. We come up way short. You know, every time I stepped out to be holy, I wound up unholy.
Amen.
You know, you know, here's the way I used to do it. But God, you know, tomorrow, this coming week, this year, you ain't going to recognize me. I'm going to be a whole new man. Turn over, you know, January comes, first of the year, you're going to turn over a new leaf. The church ain't going to recognize. The church is going to say, what a holy person. Not the same person. If that's the same person you used to come to church in here, And that's what I try to do. And before the first hour was over, I blew it. Condemnation. You can't be holy as God. Oh, something's wrong. And then here comes Jesus. God's hand moves. It ain't nothing what I did could ever do, could ever contribute to. And here comes Jesus and says, you believe into me, I'll make you as holy as I am holy. I'll make you as righteous as I am righteous. I'll fill you with myself. Ooh, that'll make you happy. You know, in the midst of problems, circumstances, situations. You know, when Jesus said you're going to have frustration, I thought, Lord, did you misunderstand? You know, some frustration. How about a lot of frustration? How about a lot of stuff, man? Them Jews had some problems back over there, but my Lord, you know, what about me? God said, I'm going to create you in righteousness and true holiness. You know what? If there's a true holiness, there's a fake holiness. You know what fake holiness is? Oh, man, that's the things you do to get God to accept you. It's the things you do to get God to bless you. It's the things you do to get God to hear your prayers. And then there's the make a deal. You know, God, if you listen to me, I'll tell you what I do. I'll be there every Sunday. God, you know what? You hear my prayers. You move in my life. Whoa, you ain't going to recognize me. That's fake holiness. You think God can't see through that? You know, I can just see him. I can sit in my own life. Well, here come Rusty again. here come 30 minutes of make a deal. He don't understand what Jesus did. Some of y'all laughing like, yeah, I did that. I'm still doing that. That make a deal thing, you know what? That's gone. That's gone. The covenant exists between eternal God and Jesus. And here's what I love about it. My covenant of peace will never depart from you. You know why? Because you in the covenant in Christ. You're in him. Praise God. Let me move on. I don't run out of time. All right. God created us in righteousness and true holiness. After you believed into Jesus, you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confessed with your mouth that he's Lord and you ain't. He's Lord of all. Lord, I choose to believe that. Some people think, you know, you got to have a vision. You got to have a goosebump. Ooh. You know, to believe into Jesus. You don't. God prepared the way. If you do that, believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. He is rich unto all who call upon his name. Amen. You know, I get a picture of that. I've meditated. It's like Jesus jumping around. Everybody, Holy Spirit jumping around. Ooh, come on, just accept me. Woo-hoo, I'm rich. I got it. I'm going to give it to you. Well, that's the way I look at it. That's the way the Lord showed it to me. Yeah. After you were believed, the hand of God really moved here. He said you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The one promised in Joel chapter 2. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Boy, if you could meditate and see this, the ministry, the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the ministry that I grew up with, the convictor. The condemner. The one that's going to point out that bad stuff in your life. You ain't never, you know, that's not the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was so special in coming. Jesus said, man, he said, I got to go away. If I go away, he's going to come. He's never going to depart from you. He's going to come, but this is what he did. He's going to seal you. He's going to seal you into Christ. We talked about that one time. You know, it's just like canning. It's like my parents used to do. My mother, you know, she canned everything. You know, pickles, you name it. If she could, you know, I don't know. Anything she could have gotten to a jar, she'd seal it up. She canned it. And we had to help her. No, there wasn't no way around that. She had to do it. She just canned it. She canned it. She'd put wax on the top of it. She'd put that lid on there. It'd take 3 school teachers and 5 kids to get that lid off. But she would put that lid on there, man, and then you want some of it a year later, and you had to take vice grips to get that lid off. Your mama would beat on it with a spoon a while, run hot water over it. Finally, that lid would come off, and you had to dig that wax out of there. And you know what? It tasted just as good as the day it went in. Literally, when the Bible says you were sealed into Jesus, you were sealed into the very brightness of his glory. You were sealed in the full love of God. You were sealed in the righteousness. You were sealed in all that God is and all that He has. You're sealed in Him. And what can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Devils can't do it. The angels can't do it. People can't do it. The IRS ain't got a chance. Ain't that right? They can't do it. You know, Jesus, I love it. I was praying that one time. Jesus said, I shut doors and ain't nobody can open. I open doors that nobody can close. You think anybody can unseal you from Jesus? Does this not amplify the fact that He's not imputing your trespasses unto you? You know, for Him to do that, He would have to apologize to Jesus. You know that? If God's trying to get even with America, He'll have to apologize to Jesus. The world has been reconciled unto God. The world's been reconciled unto Him. Now listen to me carefully. This is all of, for you, if you're not born again, you're going to have to believe into the payment. You're going to believe into Jesus. It's just not, God just says, you know, well, you all saved out here, you know. Jesus did a perfect work. The gospel is the power of God unto all who have come, all who hear, who all who believe. You're going to have to believe into it to get in on being born again. But praise God, God's not holding anything against you. He wants you to come freely. You'll get a chance to do that here in just a moment. Almost through right here. Coming out. All right. God sealed you with the Holy Spirit. That seal's never going to be broken. To the eternity of eternities. Not even the IRS can get in there. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God made you accepted in Jesus. You know, that acceptance means, you know what? It's always my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, when I used to go home and visit mom and dad years after been married, and I never once had to come up to the door and say, knock, 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 you know, ring a doorbell. I never had to ask my mother when I got inside, Mom, is all right if I look into the refrigerator? She'd look at me like, are you crazy? You're my child. I've accepted you. I've accepted you all these years, and you're asking me if I can look in the refrigerator? You know, she probably didn't want me to because I'd clean the thing out. Nevertheless, isn't that awesome? But it's that word accepted, if you study it out, it means to be highly favored. You're highly favored in God. Oh, my goodness. Why would you not want to get in on this? I mean, you know, people run around looking for deals all the time. They go to car lots looking for a deal. They even go to the funeral home looking for a deal. You know, I never figured that out. Guy's gone to heaven, and we're trying to bury him, and we're going around the funeral home trying to shop for the best place to, you know, somebody to handle him. You know, my goodness. But that's what people do. Highly favored. God has made us accepted in the Beloved, in His Son Jesus. Any way you want to look at it, folks. When the hand of God moved 2,000 years ago, the cross was the pivotal point for all of humanity. It's like everybody was running down that road of unrighteousness. Jesus comes in, and then He's standing there and says, hey, that ain't the right way. Come this way. For all of humanity. Not just for good people. Not for just people that are smarter than others, you know. But for all of humanity. Praise God. I hope you've heard some of this. I hope you see how God's hand has moved. Amen. Praise the Lord.